The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Toy, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me via virtually distance, of course, we have none other than the man on the inside who used to be on the inside, is no longer on the inside, Hassan Godwin.
Yes, I am now on the outside, and it's cold out here.
Senior
correspondent. Welcome to the middle.
We have L-Man Jenny Feldy.
Good day, good evening.
And we have senior correspondent Charlie Saladino.
Yeah, but no toys.
This week's show, we have another Jay Burdenly segment. Our streaming guru Chris Woosley has his Chris picks for Chicken Soup of the Soul, and senior correspondent Charlie Saladino has a plethora of interviews at the Fat Guy Inc. Indie Art Show, plus his final thoughts on the event. Before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the news.
It's morphin' time.
The news is brought to you in part by the fine folks at the Big Apple Con, which we are the official radio show of, celebrating only 27, 8 years of comic bookness and pop culture stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. The next convention, which is scheduled for the 25th and 26th of March, is happening right now. We'll be happening right now by the time this airs. Tickets are on sale right now. And also want to give out shout-outs for our Patreons, of which they are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Perel, Kyle Horn, Millie Portes, News Day, Famous Dresden Media, Orange Gun, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasmin Ray, Rosa, and The Hurricane. Want to have your own shout-out, go to our website, www.cameforreal.com. There's a little button on there that takes you right to our Patreon page. And also, the show is brought to you in part by the fine folks at sci-fi.radio. That's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
Wow, I am impressed, Mark. That was very efficient. Well done.
I've only been doing it for a day or two.
That's the most efficient I've ever heard you do it. That's why I'm out.
So, as Mark, always, yes.
Take the compliment and just say thank you.
Thank you. I'm taking the compliment, and we're moving on to the sad news, as we always tend to do. Actor and singer Chaim Topol, better known as just Topol, died recently while he had been suffering T'Pol. I always call him Topol. While he's always been suffering from Alzheimer's disease, as of this recording,
Alzheimer's. We'll stop. I'll stop doing that.
See, I was getting the compliment, and because I did not accept the compliment, now I get the criticism.
God so, gives it.
Take the good with the bad, Mark.
So as of this recording, exactly. No cause of death has been announced. While being in a handful of movies, T'Pol is best known for being in his roles on Fiddler on a Roof, which he performed on Broadway before the movie was filmed, and that of Dr. Hans Zarkov in the film Flash Gordon in 1980. I've seen both of those movies. I've known him, a fan of his work. Senior correspondent Charlie Saladino, are you also familiar with T'Pol?
Oh, hell yeah. Sure. Sure, he makes a great toothpaste, but no. I had to say that. The devil made me do it. He was amazing. What an actor he was, and I was shocked to see him in Flash Gordon. But it's actually he created an actually iconic role there. Yeah. So anything he touched turned to gold.
Hassan, you have any thoughts on T'Pol?
Like I said, I remember him mostly from Flash Gordon. And Charlie's absolutely correct. Zarkov, it's kind of, to go from Fiddler on the Roof to Flash Gordon is, I suppose, a lateral move.
It's a true act. Like, he really embodied the role.
He did. And I was kind of really sorry when I heard that this morning.
Oh, man, Jenny Feldy, should we move on?
Move on, and RIP, so sad, another death. Let's talk about more.
All right, so For more sad news, actually he was 87, so more sad news, actor Robert Blake also died recently from a cardiovascular disease. In his over 50-year career, starting off as Mickey in the Little Rascals Our Gang shorts, all the way to Judgment Day, the John List story as John List, Robert appeared in a slew of films and TV shows, most notably for 82 episodes of the series Beretta as the lead detective, Anthony Vincenzo?
Vincenzo.
Thank you. Tony Beretta from 1975 to 1978. I have never seen Beretta. I
know. Oh my God, Mark
Blake. So I would guess.
Never seen Beretta. How do you? All right.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Charlie? It was the most iconic theme song from Sammy.
Yeah, it was very ever. Good theme song. Yeah. You know who made her screen debut on Beretta? And she's not credited, so it's a really very little known fact. But Jennifer Jason Leigh was in Beretta. She was in the episode of Beretta as Jennifer, with no last name, and she had a speaking role. She was babysitting his python, I think, or something weird like that. But that was her very first appearance on screen.
Yeah. He had a. He had a bird, a cockatoo.
No, white, that's right. Okay, that's
white,
what she was
white
saying.
White cockatoo, and he had this this old geezer who always used to hang out with him. I guess he felt sorry, Billy. And every show when there was somebody hard, you know, had hard luck or something, he would. And they went to crime. He would always say, "I know, man. I've been there. I've seen that. I've been there, man. Yeah. Billy, leave my bird alone." Yeah.
So he was 89 years old.
Well, that's a solid age. I
guess. So moving on for the not as sad news, because that's it for the sad news. Let's see. Yay. From the that's a lot of nuts.
Wait, you didn't ask Jen about
Jen told us to move on like two deaths ago. So
okay. Yeah, I'm just here for the good news. I'm not really here for the sad news. You know, okay. I gotta just listen.
All right, Jen.
So from the
that's a lot of nuts
department. The new Neve Campbell-less Scream sequel has taken the number one spot in domestic box office, pulling in $44 million in ticket sales in its first week of release, beating out the new Rocky spin-off sequel Creed Part 3, which pulled in an additional $27 million in its second week of release. For those of you keeping track, the new Avatar sequel is still the highest grossing film of this year so far, with $274 million, followed by Ant-Man Part 3 with $198 million. The aforementioned Scream comes in at number 8. Of note, as mentioned during our last live show, much like how Creed had the biggest opening of the entire franchise ever without Sylvester Stallone, Scream has the biggest opening without Neve Campbell in the film. So I think that's kind of an interesting little tidbit that the main people of the franchise not being in the film led to the film's biggest openings.
That means the franchise is more important than certain actors.
I guess so.
Or the new actors have more of a draw than the old ones.
That's also possible.
Could be. I think there's a lot of controversy about Neve Campbell not being included, so I think that drummed up a lot of curiosity. So we'll see what happens when in the coming weeks if there's any serious drop off, maybe.
Okay. That's fair.
That's interesting.
So that's what I heard. That's not my hypothesis.
I've heard
that a lot of people are there's a lot of salty people out there about Neve Campbell not being in this new movie, and I think that drummed up a lot of trending on our favorite social media machinery, and I think that kind of drummed up a lot of curiosity. So we'll see what happens.
That's fair. That's a fair thing. So let's see. Moving on from here we go. The Razzies are in. Next bit of news, and the worst actresses. Was the Razzies themselves for their 43rd most worst actress nomination blunder. So they nominated
themselves. It's a
little themselves.
Kid.
No, they nominated. Yeah, right. They won an award for themselves for making the mistake. And Morbius, which has L. Mangini Fellow's favorite actor, Jared Leto, won again for worst supporting actor. And this is the second year in a row for Morbius of this year. And last year was House of Gucci.
And I wish I could fail upward like that guy. Yeah. He's like the butt of all the jokes, but he's still in movies. Like, he's still in tons of movies. So
that's what that's what we the whole thing about awards is. It's just, it's, you know, some people saying that some people are good or some people are quote unquote bad.
Fair enough. I stand corrected.
Well, Jared Leto was amazing in House of Gucci, and he should get every award, not just a Razzie.
He should get all the awards. Just give him all of them.
All the awards. He's amazing in that movie.
A Billboard Music Award.
He's been around for like forever.
House of Gucci
would have
been boring. They would have been boring
without him. All right. See.
Really? Yeah.
So let's see.
He made the movie.
Let's see.
Someone's whale got out.
This is a good one. And speaking of the Razzies, the Oscars have also come and gone, and the numbers are in. According to the number tracking people, this year's Oscars was up 12% from last year, leading the broadcast with an average of 18.7 million viewers, making it the third lowest Oscars in history. 2014 being the lowest with 10.4 million viewers, and last year's being the second lowest with 16.6 million viewers.
Yeah, so they decided attracting people with people beating each other up on stage was just not a good business model.
Yeah. Although Jimmy Kimmel, I actually watched it. God knows why.
So you're one of the 18 million.
Yeah, I watched. Yeah, who? Go figure. I watched it to see, you know, how long into it they get political. But guess what?
They did not.
Jimmy Kimmel had a great monologue, and he even had some pearls of wisdom about the slapping incident. It was great.
Would you care to repeat his pearl of wisdom? Because I haven't heard it.
What?
I haven't heard his pearl of wisdom. Would you care to repeat it?
I said he had great material.
No, what he actually said, not repeat what you said, repeat what he said.
Oh, no, I cannot. You have to look on YouTube.
Okay.
All right. That was wonderful.
I think it's unfair. I think it's unfair to Jimmy to repeat what he said, taking the credit away from him. You'll have to hear it from his mouth.
Okay. That's fair.
For those of you keeping track,
was that a good? Is that good?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Did I say
well, yes. Well done, Charlie.
For those of you keeping track, the most watched Oscars was in 1998. With 57.2 million viewers, and that was the year that Titanic won everything.
Hey, almost and 30 years ago.
Was that hosted
nice.
By either Carson or Crystal?
That was hosted by Billy Crystal, correct.
Oh, there yeah, he was great. Great host.
People cared, too.
Yeah.
You know, that was another thing.
30 years ago, yeah. People cared.
People gave a darn about the Oscars.
Yeah.
The Oscars loses several polls a year about if anyone's interested in the Oscars. So I don't know what it is. I think it's because people are mad that the Academy is kind of disconnected from like public opinion.
Yeah.
And there was an expose a couple of years ago. I won't go deeply into it, but there was an expose about exactly how the Academy chooses the movies. And it's got almost nothing to do with the merit of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of money involved and a lot of lobbying and, you know, a lot of other weird stuff that has nothing to do with any of this. So, of course, no one's happy with the Academy choices. No one watches the Academy Awards.
I have an observation about the Oscar that I would love to share with the thousands of people who listen to us.
Let's hear your observation.
Yeah, I'm saying it in my voice, too. there was a shot of the audience, and in the audience, there was a lady who I found out later to be known as Tem, T-E-M.
Okay.
And she was, don't ask me. She was wearing a sort of wedding dress, but the headpiece shot out and swooped around her head and came back on the other side. Now, I'm thinking, you can't wait to get to the Oscars. And now you're sitting behind her. Now, if you get a chance, go Google you to anything. But this headpiece was outrageous. And I'm saying three seats behind her couldn't see Jack on that stage. I'm just thinking it's ironic. All right, move on.
So moving on. For the final bit of news. From the Buffaloes Don't Have Wings department. After ordering boneless wings at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Chicago, somebody's ringing.
What the? Who is that? It's not me.
There we go. Ayman Halim has filed a federal lawsuit against a food chain for fraud because, as lawyer says, unbeknownst to plaintiff and other consumers, the products are not wings at all, but instead slices of chicken breast meat deep fried like wings. Indeed, the products are more akin in composition to a chicken nugget rather than a chicken wing. This clear-cut case of false advertising should not be permitted, as consumers should be able to rely on the plain meaning of a product's name and receive what they are promised. It seems clear why Buffalo Wild Wings began selling boneless wings and why it has continued to purposefully mislead customers, a profit motive. Had the plaintiff and other consumers known that the products were not actually chicken wings, they would have paid less for them or would not have purchased them at all. Therefore, plaintiff and customers have suffered an injury, in fact, as a result of defendants' deceptive practices. In response to the lawsuit, while making no official statement, Buffalo Wild Wings did tweet out, "It's true. Our boneless wings are all white meat chicken. Our hamburgers contain no ham. Our buffalo wings are 100% are 0% buffalo." The lawsuit seeks a trial jury and as of this recording, unspecified damage. And Jenny Feldy, what do you think of the Buffalo Wild Wings?
Well, I mean, I think there could be a heavy lawsuit because you are what you eat. And, you know, I've told a lot of my health clients, if you want to fly, you have wings. You need to eat wings. So you have all these people, at least my clients, eating wings, and they're not going to be flying because they're not actually wings. So I think this is a real problem in deception with this. I mean, if you think you're having wings, you want to fly. You don't want to be having it. Chicken cutlets.
Son?
You passed.
Son's taking a mulligan.
I want to have wings. Son's taking a mulligan. All right.
I don't think anybody. Come on, man. Like that's like asking what's in your sausage. Like, does it taste like chicken? Does it look chicken-like?
Well, for example, like, walnuts look like the brains. A lot of people eat walnuts because they think it's going to help with their brain health. You know, goji berries look like eyeballs. So, you know, you think you want to fly, you're going to have wings, and they're not even eating wings. So I'd be kind of upset.
I can't add to that, Mark.
Can you correspond, Charlie Saladino? You want to throw in your 2 cents on this?
Yeah, what's the name of this girl who started this lawsuit?
I think it's a person. A guy named Ayman Halim.
Yeah, I'd like to slap him in the head with a baseball bat.
Wow.
What a bunch of the views of this station. What a bunch of hockey puck. Oh my God. What a cow chips, everything. I am so appalled at this. Oh, they put the buffalo sauce on chicken. Okay, people don't like the bones to the wings, so they make a boneless nugget. What's the big freaking deal?
But does the sauce also is made out of the buffalo?
Yeah,
I mean that's the thing. Like when someone says something like that to you, you kind of just gotta not talk to them because there's something seriously wrong.
You have to not pay attention to them. You know, I mean, this guy probably read the lawsuit between the lady and McDonald's with the coffee was hot, you know, and probably said, hey,
you know, that did cups are made, you know.
I know, but I mean, he probably said, I got an idea. Yeah.
Right,
unbelievable.
So,
this America is getting very stupid these days, and I can't take it.
Well, less than a minute to go, we're going to have our final thought. So I just want to say this is my final thought. I'm surprised it took this long for somebody to have this lawsuit. Because this is, how long has this been going on? And somebody decided finally to have a lawsuit. Charlie Saladino, do you have a final thought for a new segment?
You don't want to hear my final thought. It's about that guy. Be nice to everybody except that guy, because he's an idiot. Thank you.
Hassan Gawain, you want to
I think I asked us 1,000 years ago why it was called Buffalo Wings. And
the lawsuit for you.
Then they put a plate in front of me and then I forgot. Well, I haven't thought about it.
They originated in Buffalo.
See? Man. That was more information than I got even back then.
Oh, man, Jenny Feldy, bring us home with your final thought.
Final thought is JetBlue charges you $100 if you want to cancel a flight 2 months ahead. So just consider that if you ever book on JetBlue. This is news to me and news to you, maybe.
So we're at that. We're going to take our break. We'll be
That's
right
my
back.
Takeaway.
Here goes our JetBlue sponsorship.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio. I'm here live at the Indie Art Show, and I'm here with the one and only Pete Vasquez from Fat Guy Inc. And we're here to talk to Pete. Pete, how you doing today? How's everything going?
I am fabulous. I mean, we're all surviving the cold out here on Long Island, but we're having a great time. We're wide open here at the Great South Brewery for the Indie Art Show. Having a blast. It's just a really laid-back local event. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's browsing and mingling and drinking, so it's a good time.
I see that you have some exceptional artists here. Talk to me about some of the artists that are included here.
Okay, so everything is local, and of course Fat Guy Inc. is here, but the premise behind our idea was to kind of pay it forward. We've been in the game almost 10 years now, doing cons and things like that, so we wanted to do something different. We wanted to try to pay it forward to the fact, you know, we got people who at shows, you talk to people and they help you out with stuff. So I wanted to do an event where for people that maybe can't get into New York Comic Con or can't get into Anime NYC or can't travel and stuff like that, that can stay local. So I wanted to help build our local community a little bit because that's what it's all about. So in the one corner I have Rin, actually. This is her first show ever. Then our friend Jenny is there. Jenny does amazing crafts and art. A lot of you guys know Raymond's by Miranda. Miranda is over there. She just does. She's one of the better seamstresses that I've ever seen. On the other corner, I have my devoted saint over here, Devoted Saint Retro, doing 3D printing and all sorts of gaming and stuff like that. Obviously, my buddy and partner Brendan is here with us. Behind us, we have, and you guys know her very well, and it came from radio, the Artisan's Nook is here. Brittany's here, throwing down. She's fire. She does so many amazing things. Our buddy Russ, Game of Tunes, is here. He's a good friend of ours. We're always going to have him here. And, of course, the incomparable Kelly Gordon is also here, doing all sorts of fun things.
So I am always, and I say this every year, I'm always amazed at the love that you guys get from this art show, from the people, and that's what you're saying. It's people who are local, they enjoy showing their arts around. So what kind of turnout is there today?
You know, the cold scared me a little bit, but I'm not going to lie, the brewery does a good crowd by itself. But I did 3 pretty large ad buys on Instagram for the event, and it's showing a little bit. Some people, it's better than what I expected and better than what's happened in other venues for us here. And to be completely honest, this show starts at noon, but it really doesn't start rolling till 4. People will start coming in to hang out for the evening and things like that. At 6, the brewery goes 21 and over, and I'm going to be honest with you, we will get busy. We'll get because people will come in and for their night out and stuff, and they'll be like, "Oh, what's that?" And then we start having a lot of fun.
Well, you are absolutely right, because I noticed that from the last year that I was here. After 4 o'clock, this place starts hopping. But now I noticed that people are having their beer, sashaying in here. And tell me that story about that guy who just came in. That you were telling me about, put his money down.
Oh, yeah, well, that was at the Moonlight Market run by our buddy Patrick. It was outside at the same venue in the backyard of the Great South Bay Brewery. Having a good time, come to the brewery, walk around, and I had a big painting. It was an Oni mask. It was a 1-foot by 3-foot painting. Gentleman had seen it, walked past me, saw it, asked me how much it was. I told him the price. He walked past me. He walked past another time. On the third or fourth go around, he came over, put his beer down on my table, threw a bunch of money at me and said, thank you, grabbed it and walked away. And you know what? I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. But he actually messaged me later on Instagram. I didn't tell you that part of the story. And he thanked me for more. And then he showed me a picture. He had something similar tattooed on his shoulder. So, but that's kind of the vibe here. A, locals only kind of. But at the same time, it's really laid back. And it's really just a fun atmosphere. Have a brew. Have some of the pizza. Have something else. Relax. Walk around. I mean, up until 6, you could also bring your dog.
Yeah, it's an amazing atmosphere, and this is why I love this Indie Art Show so much, because you walk around, it's not like you have to stay in one spot. There's a plethora of variety. You like that word?
Yeah, I like
a plethora
that.
Of variety, so no one gets bored and they come back and they, you know, and which is fabulous, and it's one of my favorite shows to be at. So anyway, Pete, all your social media, let's go.
It's really, really easy. You want to find me on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, where I stream Mondays from 8 p.m. till whenever we feel like not streaming. Facebook and Instagram, very easy. It's Pete11717, PEAT11717. And if you want to find the Fat Guy Inc. studio, that's even easier. It's Fat Guy Inc. 2014, FATGUYINC 2014, and that's on Instagram.
Beautiful, Pete. Thank you so much for taking time and talking to us. We will see you again and again and again.
Absolutely. Come down through. Thank you.
Take it easy. This is Charles Saladino, senior correspondent for It Came From the Radio, live at the Indie Art Show. Back to you in the studio, Mark.
Thank you, Charles.
Hey, it's Marissa Jade, your favorite mob wife, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio. Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio. I'm here live at the Indie Art Show, and I'm here at the CYS booth. Console yourself, soap. And I'm here with
Felix
and Ardina.
Well, let me tell you something, folks. I'm loving this booth. It looks like they have such wonderful soaps and little jewelry. Tell us about how you got started with this stuff.
So everything is handmade. And we basically just wanted some kind of nerdy soap things start out as gifts for our friends. Because there's really nothing out there like video game themed or pop culture soap. So we just started looking into it, got some molds, got some soap, we made a couple of things, and we just like doing it so much. Now we make our own molds and our own designs, and it's just grown from there.
Now, how these designs on the soap are unbelievable. How did they come about?
I'm really the creative behind most of the soap making, and I make sketches and try everything I can to bring the movie or video game into your bathroom.
Well, I got to tell you something. I'm over here interviewing you, and this has to be the best smelling booth because everything smells so great. Now, if people want to see your product and try your product and buy your product, how do they do that?
You can go to consoleyourselfsoap.com. We're also on Etsy if you just search for Console Yourself Soap. And on Instagram, if you just shoot us a message, we can make anything happen.
Beautiful. Now, do you have any social media that you want to get out there other than what you just told me?
No, just mostly Instagram, Console Yourself Soap.
Beautiful, and you got to go to this. You got to go to their social media and see this stuff. It's really artwork, and then you wash yourself with it. It's amazing, folks. Thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Bye.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio, live at the Indie Art Show. Back to you in the studio, Mark.
The Comic Book Depot has been in business since 1993. Your one-stop comic book shop for comics, gaming, and collectibles. The Comic Book Depot club membership is $15 and gets you 15% off new comics, back issues, graphic novels, and 10% off comic book supplies. Located at 2847 Jerusalem Avenue in Wantagh, New York. Contact us on Facebook for curbside pickup because new comics are back. For more information, give Alan a call at 516-221-9337. The Comic Book Depot.
Now, back to our show.
This is senior correspondent Charlie Saladino from It Came From The Radio, and I'm here live at the Indie Art Show today, and we're here with none other than Frank DiStefano, author of The Dark Legend and The Dark Lords, and we're going to talk to him about his books. Frank, how are you?
Great. How are you today?
Little slice of heaven, Frank. So now let's talk about your book. Give us a little background with the book.
So it's basically about an ancient Japanese warrior that got frozen for 400 years and woke up in New Amsterdam, which, as we all know, became New York.
All right, now, you're sitting down, you're enjoying a nice cup of coffee on a Sunday. How does this idea hit you?
I saw the movie Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag at the time, and I thought I could write something better. And, you know, that was just my opinion, but I'm sure with Joe Pesci movies, everybody loves those. But it just came up to me. The oddest thing about something like this has nothing to do with any mafia movies. But that's you could get an idea from anywhere.
Exactly, and it's weird where you get your ideas from. But it's just that one little nuance in the movie could kick it off. So was it easy for you to write? Were you on a roll, or did this take time?
Well, I hand-wrote it back in 1996, and I finished it in 1997, and it was probably about five or six hardcover me notebooks. And then, you know, over the years, I didn't really do anything with it, and then I started to do stuff with it, and then I turned it out. I rewrote it, and, you know, and this is what we have in front of us. And I only started out one, never thought I would write a second one, or even a third or fourth, which is what I have on my laptop, and it comes very freely to write these.
Now, with these books, is it safe to say that with the Dark Lords, which is the second book, do we see another book coming out of that one?
Yeah, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. This series is not ending because all my ideas keep on flowing, and I reinvent the ideas and, you know, different concepts and stuff like that, but it basically follows with the same character, you know, the Master, which is the main character, and then he's a pretty hefty, scary-looking guy if you go down a New York alley and see him.
I know. I see the covers here. I don't want to go down a New York alley and see any of these guys. All right, Frank, how can people get these books from you? Where, you know, your social media, all that stuff.
So I have a website. It's called frankdistefanoauthor.com, and it'll take you to my website. You could purchase the books there, and it'll bring you right up to Amazon. So any way of getting in contact with me, there's a little text message thing on the website. So any messages that you have to ask, or if you're like, oh, when's the third one coming out, or so forth, or what events, it'll show all the events that I'm doing here on Long Island, New York, or in out of state, and you can find me that way.
Beautiful. Frank, thank you so much for taking time and talking to us. This really looks like great stuff here. I'm really intrigued. So I wish you the best of luck with this.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
Okay, this is senior correspondent Charlie Saladino live at the Indie Art Show. Back to you in the studio, Mark.
Ever wanted to enter the world of comics but didn't know where to start? Worry not, true believers. We at the Comic Book School may just have the answer to your questions. Created by comics veteran Buddy Scalera, the Comic Book School is a free online educational resource that helps rising creators learn the craft and business of making comics through resources like forums, interviews, publication opportunities, publisher guidelines, and step-by-step blog posts. For more info, please visit our site at www.comicbookschool.com. Be sure to join our forums and follow us on social media while you're there. We'll see you on the message boards.
Now, back to our show.
Hey, this is Jaybird and Lee, and we're here to talk about movies, music, TV, and what's going on in our part of the world. Today we're going to talk about a new person in this world.
Yes, a new Kolinsky, right? We just got a new Kolinsky that arrived recently.
Yeah.
Right? So
Baby Ava.
That's right. So we are on another grandkid for your grandmother.
Seven now?
She has seven grandkids, which is pretty awesome. You know,
it's pretty crazy.
And three of them are 3 years and under.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah. And then one of them is 15.
You're 15.
The rest are like 4 years younger than me.
You're 15 going on 20. and what?
Going on 20.
And your brother. Right. So this is another Kolinsky, which is nice to have. This one lives in the city. He was born at NYU, right? Mm-hmm. You were born at NYU.
Yeah. Wasn't Rocky, too?
Yes, and our other...
there were a bunch of babies that in our family born at NYU.
Only three?
A bunch.
Well, you know, that's three... Right, three out of seven. Actually, I don't know where Fiona was born, so she could be part of the NYU crowd, too, but I'm not sure. But most of the Kolinsky boys, me and your two uncles, were at... Actually, even Riley, were born in Manhasset, and Peyton and Madden were born in Manhasset. So there was a whole bunch of that going on, you know, so.
Ah, okay.
So there you go, another birth, which is awesome. Now it's kind of funny because it's all Kolinskys are, like, sort of divided, these little Kolinskys, right? So you are an island unto yourself. Yeah. You're the only one in your age bracket. The next one that comes down is Riley and...
But he's got, like, three, but there's, like, three people.
Two girl cousins, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have the next set, which is like, I guess, from, let's see, 9 years to two. So what is that, a 7 year difference?
Yeah.
So it's a 7 year difference. So between you and Riley, who's the oldest of the
there's
next set.
There's a four.
Four. And then.
It's seven.
And the youngest of that three, there's a 7 year difference. So there's a lot of young, young kids. And I'm so happy that I don't have to put a bottle in someone's mouth and change a diaper. Those days are over for me. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So are you excited that you have another little baby?
Yeah. I mean, she's very small. She's very small. Everyone keeps saying she has brown eyes, but she has blue.
You think she has blue eyes?
She definitely has blue eyes.
Really?
Yeah. If you look at her eye, it's blue. It's not the essence of a brown eye. It's the essence of a blue eye.
Oh, okay. So most Kolinskys have blue or... kind of hazelish eyes and a couple of brown eyes, right?
Yeah.
Well, you've got a nice brown eyes. Would you stop?
Yeah, whatever.
So,
I've gotten the most backlash on having brown eyes.
There's a running joke about having blue eyes in our family. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a receding gene, so it's kind of like not the best. You know, it's a nice pretty thing to have, but it's not great for the eyes.
Although, do you think I'd look better with blue eyes?
No, I think you look perfect the way you are.
No, but would I?
No, why? You could always get contacts and put them in and see.
No.
You know, but so everybody, every time a new child comes along, I actually make fun of the babies and say that they have brown eyes because my brothers get so upset.
They do. It's really funny. They're like, whenever the baby comes, they're like, do they have blue eyes? Blue eyes. Like it's like it's illegal to have different color eyes.
Yeah, I'm always like it's another brown eyed baby in the family, and then they all get upset. But I have the best one. Who has the only brown eyes in the family? That's you.
I'm not the only brown eyes.
Well, as the kids, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Riley has blue eyes, and the other girls have blue eyes or hazel eyes. Hmm. You know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the only brown-eyed person in the family, though.
Well, in the whole family, no. But you are in the children section.
In the children section.
Which you soon won't be a child anymore. I guess you're a teenager.
Yeah.
So you're excited? Your uncle just had another baby.
Mm-hmm.
He's got three, a family of five.
In a very small apartment.
Well, he's in the city, and he'll make do.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean... we'll see what happens, but yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You know, it's going to be good when they get older and you can babysit them.
Moolah.
No money. Yes, you can make money babysitting Kolinskys for years.
True, that is very true.
All right, well, congratulations to another Kolinsky into the world, and, you know.
Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay connected.
Hello, this is Carrie Hoskins. I play Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat. You are listening to It Came From the Radio. Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio. I'm here live at the Indie Art Show, and I'm here at this lovely booth with the lovely Miranda, and she's going to talk about her products. And that was just me barking. So anyway, let's take it away with Miranda. Miranda, how are you? And tell us about your stuff here.
I'm doing great. My name is Miranda. I've been making masks and other products since the pandemic started. I started off making masks because I couldn't get any during the shortage. And then that's kind of started to kick off. So I started selling at events. I started making mask chains. And then, you know, once the pandemic started to calm down a little bit, I kind of started to branch off and experiment with other products. I do block prints that are kind of anime-based and based off of other fandoms that I'm into. I do screen printing hand-dyed bags. I started designing lighters and clips and other products and stickers. And every time I come to an event, I try to bring a couple of more products to kind of see how they do. And if people like them, then I'll make more like that.
I'm looking at these beautiful masks, jewelry here, and everything else, and these bags. And you also, I see some artwork here. So tell us about the artwork.
About the artwork?
Tell us about the artwork over here.
Yeah, so they're block prints. So you take like a block of linoleum, and you put a design on it, and then you take a tiny blade, and you carve out like everything that you don't want printed. So the blocks for these took a few hours to make, and then you roll them with ink, and you kind of press them onto paper, and you can make multiple prints with the same block, but the block does take a lot of time to carve.
That's beautiful. Now, if anybody wants to see this beautiful, all your beautiful merchandise, tell us where they can go. Give us your social media, where they can get in touch with you.
Sure. So I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Raymond's by Miranda. I also have a website that I'm currently working on that should be up soon, where you can get a lot of these products online as well. Yeah, so that's where you can find me. I'm also at a lot of events this year. I'm going to be at a few at the brewery this summer. I'm doing a convention this summer at Trapicon, so I'll be there as well.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Miranda, for taking time out. The stuff is lovely. Everybody check out her merchandise over here.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Okay, this is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio, and I'm live at the Indie Art Show. Back to you in the studio, Mark.
Hey everybody, this is Todd McFarlane of the record-setting Spawn comic series. And if you're looking for any kind of cool conversation about creators, about entertainment, about all that good stuff, you go to It Came From the Radio. You're listening to the right spot.
Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio, and I'm here at the Indie Art Show live, and I'm here with our very good friend, and oh my God, he's just the best. I'm here with the one, the only, Mikhail Supreme. Hey, how are ya?
Hey, what's up, Charlie? Doing fine, doing good, doing good.
So how's things going over here today?
Things are looking well, you know, good vibes here. Everybody's in a chill mode. I mean, everybody's in really chilling because we're in a cold beer brewery right here at South Great Bay. And, yeah, everybody's getting their drink on, and I'm being a little tipsy myself.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, what's going on? What's new in your world?
Right now, what's going on is that me and the Mrs. Jay Scribble, shout out to Jay Scribble for Nightingale Anime. Right now, we got our very own Etsy store. And we're selling a lot of good craft art there. We got Perla bead art, and we also have terrains dioramas that are anime themed. And we just, you know, right now we're trying to launch that right now. We've been having it for a few months now, and we've been doing some good sales there. But I want people to come out and visit more often and check out what we got.
Beautiful. Now, how could people see this? Where could they see the products here?
Yeah, good question, Charles. You can check us out at Diorama Bit World at Etsy store. Again, that's Diorama Bit, B-I-T, World. Like the whole world. Yes, exactly. You can come check us out there. You can check out what we have, merchandise and our craft art. If you see nothing that you like, you can personally message us on the store and you can order or ask for a custom-made whatever bead art or diorama. If it's out there, it can be made. So you can just message us and let us know what you want and we'll get that for you.
Beautiful. One more question. How's that beautiful family of yours?
The family's doing well, Charles. Doing well, man. Kids are getting big. Wife is happy. Happy wife, happy life.
There you go. Words to live by the one and only Mikel Supreme. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
That's right. See you soon. I'll see you on the next level.
You got it. This is Charlie Saladino, senior correspondent from It Came From The Radio at the one and only Indie Art Show live. Back to you in the studio. Not so live, Mark.
Hi, this is Tammy Stronach, best known for playing the Childlike Empress in The NeverEnding Story and upcoming Man and Witch fantasy film. You are listening to It Came From The Radio.
Now, back to our show.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From The Radio. I am here at the Indie Art Show live, and I'm here with one of my favorite cosplayers. I see her like almost every show we go to. Abigail, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good so far. Thank you.
Good. And she is absolutely beautiful today. She's cosplaying Jem. And tell us all about your cosplaying and what you go through and everything like that. So
basically, I'm cosplaying Jem from Jem and the Holograms. I've been cosplaying for like 5, almost 6 years, and I love it. So basically what got me cosplaying Jem is I do like two versions of Alita 1. Like, I do like a casual version of her, which is based off of Generation 1 Transformers, and then there's the Transformers Prime version. Like, her, like, it would be like Alita 1 as if she appears in Transformers Prime. So I do like two versions of her, and I have like a friend of mine from out of state who cosplays Optimus Prime. He actually got to meet the voice actress of Jem and Ariel before she becomes Alita 1, and he actually got her to follow me. So I saw her page, and I had found out that she does like the voice for Jem, and that's what basically made me want to cosplay Jem. So
That's an amazing story. I love it. Now, in all the cosplay that you do, and you do a lot of cosplay, what is your favorite? What is your least favorite?
I don't know if I exactly have a least favorite. I know I have a couple of favorites. I do like Sue Storm from the Fantastic Four. I do Alita 1 from Transformers. Those are a couple of my favorites. I don't know if I specifically have a least favorite, so I can't really say. So,
you had, when we were at the Tropicon, they were doing the contest, and you had this unbelievable costume with, what were you cosplaying at that time? It had the arms and everything.
Oh, yes, I was cosplaying Spiral from the X-Men. She was like one of my hardest builds to do. The arms are basically, let's see, how do I start from there? It's basically a metal frame for the base with straps strapped on and everything, and the arms are wooden dowels with like foam on the inside to give it some tone, and fabric on the outside to make it look more like skin, pretty much, and foam for the armor, and the hands are like mannequin hands that you would find it like for like manicure stuff. What else do I mention about the arms? It's a lot, yeah.
So, you are such a seasoned cosplayer, and you're so good at your cosplaying. What advice would you give kids when they come up to you and say, hey, I want to be a cosplayer? What would you tell them?
I say just have fun, you know? I mean, cosplay is definitely for everyone, regardless of what other people think. Cosplay does amount to something.
And Abigail, now I want you to get out all your social media where people can see you in these lovely outfits, and just every place where somebody could get in touch with you.
Yeah, sure. Let's see, my main social is McHeretic on Instagram, McHeretic. I do have TikTok as well, but it's a different handle. So my main is Instagram.
Beautiful. Abigail, thank you so much for the interview. And you're going to see a lot of shots of Abigail that I have on our Facebook page for this Indie Art Show. And then check out her social media. Abigail, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This is Charlie Saladino from It Came From The Radio from the Indie Art Show Live. Back to you in the studio, Mark.
Later. Hi, this is Sue Lee from Face Off Season 2. You're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Now, back to our show.
Hey, It Came From The Radio fans. It's Chris Woolsey, the king of streaming, here to tell you about what's cooking on Chicken Soup for the Soul streaming service in this month. So we've got all kinds of great titles for you in February. One of my favorites, we've got a great series called Wedding Talk. This is a nuptials celebration series hosted by Olympic gold medalist Tara Lipinski. And she and her two co-hosts, Jove Meyer and Jose Rolone, who are experts in the wedding industry, they watch videos of these insanely beautiful, over-the-top weddings. You know, the one of the weddings that you get to see has like a full Bollywood dance routine in the middle of the ceremony. If you ever wanted to see how the rich and famous do weddings, this is an amazing show. Highly recommended. Really good stuff, especially perfect for Valentine's Day. We also have a ton of great rom-coms on Chicken Soup for the Soul this month. For the Love of Chocolate is a great one. That's starring Rhiannon Fish from the series The 100 and Jesse Hutch from Batwoman, as well as Genevieve Buechner from Supernatural. And it's a cute, cute little rom-com that takes place in the foodie candy industry. I think you're really going to love that. It's a perfect, perfect sweet treat for Valentine's Day. But what I recently learned is that the audience for crime content is actually largely women. And since Chicken Soup for the Soul has a female-centric bent to it, we wanted to bring some amazing crime titles as well to the service. We've got a great one called From Darkness, and this is starring Anne-Marie Duff, who you might remember from the British version of the show Shameless. It's really good. It's a limited series, very dark. She plays a detective who kind of pulled herself out of that career world because it was just too taxing on her soul. And no sooner does she do that than a case from her past comes back to haunt her. And it looks like a killer that she once tracked is back on the streets, and she has to re-enter that world in order to try to stop him. It's fantastic. From Darkness, you want to check that one out for sure. We've also got a great little lighter show called Houdini and Doyle, which is super fun, and it's sort of a alternate reality series that what if Arthur Conan Doyle and Harry Houdini paired up to try to solve crimes. It's a great series, super, super fun. Michael Weston from A Million Little Things and Stephen Mangan from The Split. Really great. Check that one out. You're going to love it. We've also got Midsummer Murders. A lot of these are coming through our deal with the BBC. Midsummer Murders is super interesting. Kind of a veteran detective has to pair up with a rookie in order to solve mysteries in this regional community of Midsummer County, which is kind of a made-up region of England. It's fantastic. But all kinds of great stuff on Chicken Soup for the Soul streaming. You can find that by either going to chickensouptv.com, and you can cast that site to your connected TV, or you can also go to your favorite app store and download the app. and just open it up and start watching. I mean, we've got the traditional female fare of Home and Garden and cooking channels. But as I said, we've got a ton of great stuff because we all know women like more than that. That's just silly to think. So we've got everything you're looking for. Blockbusters, like we said, crime, all kinds of good stuff. And, you know, having it be the season of romance, we've got tons of rom-coms this month. But again, chickensouptv.com or download the app from your favorite app store. And as always, everything is free. Have a great day, and I look forward to being back. Bye-bye.
If you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
Hey, this is senior correspondent Charlie Saladino in a quiet, secluded place doing my indie art show wrap-up report. Well, again, it came from the radio. Thank you to Peter Vasquez and Brendan Shaw for their hospitality. I have to say this is one of my favorite conventions due to the fact that it's held in several facts, actually. It's held in a great venue, and there's so many community artists that come together and are happy to come together and show off their talent. Again, the venue is the Great South Bay Brewery. It's gigantic. The front part is a brewery / sport bar / restaurant, and then the art show is held in the warehouse part of the brewery that is attached to the front half. So, while people are enjoying themselves, having some finely crafted brews and some food, they tend to wander into the art show, even if they're not, you know, even if they, you know, it's not their thing. But it starts at 12 noon. At 4 o'clock, it starts definitely getting active. Like I said, people in the front of the brewery make their way to the warehouse section. A lot of interesting venues, vendors, and it was just an enjoyable experience, as you guys are going to tell from my photos that I posted in our Indie Art Show album. But once again, a very enjoyable convention, or I should say an art show, and again, the art community comes together and shows their love for Pete and Brendan, and that was about it. I had a great time, and it was a pleasurable experience, especially on the way home when I purchased a few cases of crafted beer. And that's about it. So this is senior correspondent Charlie Saladino from It Came From The Radio, live at the Indie Art Show. Back to you in the studio, Mark.
This is Quentin Flynn, a popular voice actor known for Axel, Timon, and Raiden from the Metal Gear series. And you're listening to It Came From The Radio. Stick around.
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here every week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio, indievolt.com, centraloregonradio.com. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From The Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.